If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
It is amazing that when Paul talks about casting down, pulling down strongholds, he lists these three components of your mind. This suggests to us that the principal weaponry of Satan is designed to approach our mind. Visual people are highly susceptible to satanic attacks. Because of their visual acuity, they see things and they make demonization out of things that are really not. I close my eyes sometime and I get those eye worms, they're called. The jumping around of little dark spots in the eyes. I tell my optometrist about these spots and they check my eyes and say, it's nothing to be concerned about, but there's gel on the front of your eye that sometimes dries. And that gel will dry and you'll see these little spots. And we tend to make something big out of it. Oh God, I got eye problems. And God said, no, you just got little eye worms. You ever lay down with your face down on your hands, and when you release them, your eyes strain to focus because you've been pressing against the cornea. Your perception is off for a moment. Things are not in focus. Well, that's what perceptions are. You're looking through glasses darkly. Your perception is wrong, and that perception, this is how you will know that the perception is satanic, because it pulls you from Deuteronomy 28. If someone can pull you from being blessed, prosperous, successful, at peace, then the devil has won. At the end of the day, if you're frustrated and they're going on living their life, he's won. How can someone pull you down from your seated position? And Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We become comfortable in our positions. We've been here long enough. We've held on to those things that disenfranchise us. We fail to realize that the strength of our lives in God are connected to the people around us. No man is an island. No man can stand alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another. So I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend. And the Bible calls us to such a fruitful relationship. When one reaches over into the book of Galatians, Paul, trying to bring this so-called backslidden group together, he concludes this great epistle with these words. Brethren, if someone is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore, interesting verb. He does not say judge. He does not say criticize. He does not say excommunicate. He took that stand over in Corinth, but now in Galatia, he does not say to do that. It appears that Paul has now mastered 1 Corinthians 13. While the cause may justify excommunication, he says no. If someone is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore them. What a classic paradox. In 1 Corinthians, he says, put them out of the church. But now he's saying, restore them. And the Greek verb to restore means put them back where they were. It is the prodigal son with flesh on it. Take that person who has strayed and put them right back where they were. Love them into submission. How will they do this? Well, we get a hint from 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians when Paul tells them to throw that incestuous young man out and not allow him to come back to the church. But in 2 Corinthians, he says he has learned his lesson. Welcome him back to fellowship. Brothers and sisters, Satan knows if he's going to keep you down, he will do it by keeping you out of church. He knows that you gain strength every time you walk into this door. Even though you don't want to admit it, there is a power in a place where two or more are gathered together. I was asked to come and preach at a church, and it was my first time. And they, because of the size of their church, it was a gathering of many churches. The pastor of the church itself was a bishop, and he had an organization. And this organization met in a room over here, Arcadia College. And I didn't understand. I didn't know what these people were doing. I had never been to their church before, but they knew about me and asked me to come. And it was a Saturday, and I felt this was a good opportunity to just connect with new people in God. When I walked in the door, I had not been greeted by anybody of substance. I just walked through, and the people were in their room, and I walked through the other way. And when I came in, something came over me that I had never experienced. There was an inclusion that I had never felt before. I began to weep. I began to weep, and I kid you not, because I felt like this is strange. I had never been here before. I had never been with these people before. But I was weeping the moment I walked through the door. I just felt like someone had wrapped two great big arms around me and hugged me. When I walked in the door, I heard West Indian accents. Everybody in the church was Jamaican. I began to weep. I was with my people, and the seed of my father had connected with the seed in them. And all I could do was cry being around my people. They had never seen me before, and they walked up and started hugging me. They began to embrace me. They began to share who they are and what they were. And I felt that I had reached nirvana, that I had climbed a mountain, that I was always an individualist. I was always a person who walked alone. But for the first time in my life, I felt something that I hadn't felt since the day I was born again. I felt included. I will never forget that feeling. The only other time I felt that way is when I went back home. When I got off the plane in Montego Bay and I walked up to the place to give the lady my passport. And she said to me, she said, "What brings you to Jamaica?" I said, "I'm going home." I said, "My father was born here and my brother still lives here and his wife and children." I said, "I'm going home." She stamped my passport and said, "Welcome home." I felt connected again. How do you feel when you come to church? Do you still feel isolated? Nobody likes me. I'm just here because I have to be. I'm obeying God. Really? Is God that cruel that he sends you someplace where you don't fit? Is God that cruel that he'll force you to come someplace where you are not liked? No, beloved. No, you are blessed. And even though the devil is telling you contrary, you fit in the family of God. What I felt inside of me that day, and this was before I became a bishop, I had no adjutants or anybody with me. What I felt that day wasn't because of them per se. It was because of me. I was open to being touched by my countrymen. I was open. Now, it's amazing. I preached in Waynesboro, Georgia. Waynesboro, Georgia is about 30 to 35 miles away from Elberton, where my mother was born. When I went to Georgia, I didn't feel that. No disrespect to Mama and her nine brothers and sisters, but I didn't feel the inclusion in Georgia. When I asked the pastor of the church in Waynesboro, I said, "I'd like to go to Elberton because that's where my mother was born." He said, "Oh, it's just about 30, 35 miles down the road." He said, "But the Klan is there. And you don't want to go there." Now, the place of my mother's birth, I would have been lynched. But the place of my father's birth, I was included. Do you understand that God is your father? And all of his children will include you. You say, "Well, I don't feel the inclusion." Well, because I'm a pragmatic, practical person, there's only one of two reasons. You're not his child, or you're in a place where his children are not. But if you are his child, you ought to feel connected. Just like I felt connected with the rest of those West Indians. Every time I go anywhere, first person I look for is a West Indian. Because I know I'm going to get good care. If I go to a restaurant, I ask, "Do you have a Jamaican cook?" And I'll get them to make something that's not on the menu. Because we stick together. And you, as a child of God, you have privileges. When you find another Christian, you should be able to reach out and say, "I need you to pray with me." Don't dump on them. Just say, "I need you to pray with me." Give them a general overview. Never pray for anybody who has an unspoken request, because they may be praying against you. So say, "No, what direction are we praying?" Because the Bible says you have to touch and agree. And I can't agree if you're praying, "Get rid of Martin and Aaron." I'm believing God that you get rid of them. Well, I'm not going to agree with you. I want this church to function like the Bible. Brethren, if you think your brother has a fault, go to them and confess it between you and them alone. Get forgiveness. The only reason why we can't have substantive miracles on a regular basis is because we have too much fighting amongst family members. Let's squash that. They still say that? I got to check with my culture people. Let's squash that. Is there anyone in here that can say, God has not forgiven me of a certain thing in my life? He forgives you for everything. Then, beloved, there shouldn't be anybody that you can't forgive. Oh, you don't understand. They get on my nerves. There was a time when I got on God's nerves. And you know what he did when I got on his nerves? I learned something. I said this to my mother. One day she punished me. And I had, I think I was around 13. And she punished me and she made me stay in my room. And when she made me stay in my room, I was always, you know, I'm the troublemaking child. So I was going to take the punishment to the nth degree. The nth degree means there's no ending to it. It just keeps going. It's the nth. So I said, I guess I'm going to pee on myself because I can't go to the bathroom because I'm stuck in my room. I guess you're going to have to bring me my meals upstairs because you told me to stay in my room. I guess I can't go to school because you told me to stay in my room. And I was being a wise guy. And Mama came up. And by now, she was no longer doing the physical things. She was kind of leaving that to my dad. And I feared my father. As much as I honored him, I feared him. And she came up and she said, "You're trying to be smart." She wasn't born again then. So, you know, she said, "You're trying to be a real smart, educated individual who just needs direction." And she said, "You know exactly what I mean." And so I had to hang my head in shame. And, you know, I went through the punishment and went downstairs to eat and did all the things that I was supposed to do. And I was supposed to be in my room for 3 days. And it was just as the summer was about to start. We were coming into the last semester, the last month of school. So you know it was nice outside. You go to school, you come home and play, and I was in the house. And even being smart-mouthed, I still ate well. And I could go downstairs to eat, but then I had to come right back up to my room. And I didn't have a TV in my room. And we didn't do that then. Everybody sat in the living room and watched one television, and you watched whatever daddy wanted to watch. Until this day, I can tell you with Walter Cronkite hat on. Halfway through the punishment, Mama saw that I was broken. Without fanfare, she stuck her head in my door and said, "You can go outside." I jumped up and put on my sneakers and ran outside. She showed mercy in her judgment. That was the last time she had to punish me, because my heart did not become bitter. She knew when to stop so that bitterness doesn't set in. That's what God does. When he chastises us, he does it just long enough to break us, but not enough to make us bitter.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3418P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen. The blessing that he has in store for me.